Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. Thank you for each one that's come out. Help our hearts and our minds to be open and receptive to your word. Help us, O Lord, as we look at your word, we will see what you have to say to us, and we will take it to heart, having you leading us and guiding us in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture text for today is found in Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 48. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. Luke 19, beginning at verse 41. Now, as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." Then he went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, "It is written, 'My house is a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." And he was teaching daily in the temple. But the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him and were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. We look at the Old Testament lesson, and we see part of what we read is a song of Moses, and how he tells the people even there of their hard-heartedness and their stubbornness in serving God. And as we see this, yet God had patience with them, and God has patience with us. As we read this portion of scripture today, the question would come, have you ever cried or have you ever wept for someone or something that happened to you? Jesus, as he came down from the Mount of Olives that day, he stopped in this one spot, and you have a perfect vision of Jerusalem. You can oversee the whole city, and you can see things going on in town. And when, from Jesus' day, remember, Jerusalem was much smaller than it is today. And yet, as he stopped there, and it says he wept, it's more than just crying. We cry for the loss of loved ones, whether they're our spouses or in our family or friends or relatives. But have you wept like it says Jesus wept? I believe Jesus wept profusely to the point of shedding many big tears. And if you have ever lost a loved one and say, "I wept for the love of that lost one that I had," you might understand a little bit of how Jesus maybe wept over the city of Jerusalem. And then he says, if you had only known, if you had only realized the day of your visitation, if you had realized that God was with you and that God's blessings would be upon you and that God wanted to give you all of these blessings, and yet the scribes and the Pharisees and the leaders of the land kept the people in blindness, they kept them in darkness, and they kept them from following Christ. Yet many of them heard Christ, and they liked what they heard, and they liked what they seen, and they were very attentive to him. So we find that leading up to the crucifixion, of course, that Jesus had to show these people not only that he was the Son of the living God, but he also came in flesh like you and I, and he lived here on earth. He took the abuse that they gave him. He took all of the shame that they gave him, and he did it for you and for me. He was sent by God, and he was sent in such a way that people would know he's the Son of the living God. We look into what Paul was saying, and Paul says, you know, at Pentecost, each one was given a talent or a certain thing in which they can do. He names wisdom, and he names understanding, and he names faith, and so forth. In Proverbs, Solomon wrote, and he says, get wisdom. In all that you do, get wisdom. And when you're getting wisdom, pray that you would also have understanding. You can find people that are very intelligent and very smart, and yet their understanding maybe is not real good. I knew a school teacher in Thief River one time, and he was a whiz in math. He could take anything in math, and he knew it, and he knew how to do the work of it very, very plainly. But he was so smart in math that we always said he could not teach it to others because he could not come down to their level and teach it so that they would understand what he was talking about. And he used big words that I don't use because I don't know the meanings of most of them in the first place. And then we come and we find you have to talk to people where they are. If they're on this certain level of knowledge, that's where you want to speak to them on, and make them understand and convince them that it is by God's grace that he has given them what they have today. We find God has been merciful to us. He's given us the sun. He's given us sunshine. He's given us rain. He's given us good crops. He's given us poor crops sometimes. And yet we find that through it all, as Christians, we should be thankful to God for all that he has given us. Yet we have a tendency of complaining like the Israelites did, being hard-hearted and stiff-necked as they were called by God himself. And we find that in that, if we are thankful for what God gives us and we thank him and we use it to his glory and his honor, we will find that he will continue blessing us and he will continue using us to reach out to those round about us. We find that God's glory can be seen as we deal with other people. And then we also find Paul says some people are given the means of healing. There are many people today that says the healing power only comes through doctors and so forth. And yet God has blessed many of these doctors to give you the right medicine and to help you. In my own case, I can speak, I believe from firsthand, where God has healed me in more times than one, where if it wasn't for God's intervention, I wouldn't be here today. And I wouldn't be preaching to you today or talking to you. I don't want to call it preaching because I would rather say, hopefully we could have a discussion. And if you have something to say, raise your hand or something or stand up and speak. I can do that too. And we find that God has given us wisdom. He's given us so we can have understanding his word, understanding how to proclaim it, understanding how to tell it to others, understanding to make it come alive and exciting to those that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Then he talks about some too that speaking in tongues, and this is one, if you want an argument with many people, this is one in which you can use. And in that, they say, I speak in tongues and I praise God, and he's been so good to me. And I've asked some of these people, do you know what you're saying? No, I don't, but the Spirit is speaking through me, and I feel so good, and it just feels so wonderful. And some years ago, and this is back in the 50s, I suppose that's a couple weeks ago, and we were talking to a lady, and she was a Pentecostal, and she was telling one time of their church, and they were speaking in tongues and rolling on the floor, and they were doing all kinds of different things, she said. And she says, you know, nobody knew what they were saying. And then there was a missionary that they were supporting that happened to be in church that night. And that missionary got up and walked to the front, and he says, all of you stop. Listen to what I have to say. He says, you think you're worshiping God, and you think God is speaking to you. And he says, all the tongues that you're speaking and mumbling, he says, is the language in which it belongs to the tribe that I am trying to reach for Christ. He says, you're condemning Christ. He says, unless you have someone that can interpret as Scripture says, as Paul has said, if you don't have anybody to interpret, do not try and speak in tongues. And I'm not talking about Norwegian or Swedes or Germans, because most of us, or some of us at least, can make out what's being said. But if we speak in the tongue of God, and if the Holy Spirit moves you in such a way to speak in his language that we may not understand, Paul says, make sure you have an interpreter, otherwise you're just babbling and nobody knows what you're saying. And so we make sure. And this missionary told these people, what you're doing is wrong. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know who you're praising. And he says, you're not praising God. And that lady, she says, I quit going to that church because of that. And at that time, we weren't walking with the Lord. And we, okay, I agree with you, you know. But so it went. But we find that Paul gives many different things which the Spirit gives us. He may give you the knowledge of wisdom to speak and to interpret. He may give you the knowledge to be able to pray and heal those that are sick. And that is something that God still does, not only through doctors, but through his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit can heal you, and his Holy Spirit will heal you when you call upon him in faith. And he says, some of you, I give you the spirit of faith. And we sit there and say, well, Lord, I believe on you. I have you as my Lord and Savior. What do you mean, faith? I believe, like Peter did, he says, Lord, if that's you, call me to come out, and I will come out and walk on the water. That was faith. Faith in Hebrews tells us it's things unseen, things unplanned. And so in faith we go forward. But that doesn't, he is not talking about the faith we have in Christ necessarily, but the faith we have in what he has told us to do. Has he told you to speak to someone? Has he told you to go out and maybe help somebody? Has he advised you to listen? Maybe he's given you the spirit of silence, that you are there to hear somebody's troubles and not tell them what they should or shouldn't do, and not to advise them, but to listen. There are people in this world today that has to have somebody just listen to them, and they want to express their things that's troubling them. You may be able to help them, you may not. But God says, given us each a spirit or a talent, if you want to call it that, And we see that Jesus told the leaders of the land of that day, he says, you know, because you missed your visitation, you will be destroyed. General Titus came in and destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD. He tore down the temple brick by brick to make sure there was no gold in between them, and there was nothing left. He killed many, many of the men, women, and children there and left them destitute and barren. And we find this is exactly what Jesus was prophesying here. He has told us that many people will prophesy, and that if their prophecy is true, we will hear and we will see it coming through. We don't know how prophecy works all the time, but we do know this, that God has given many people the right in which to speak and to live for him, to be able to bring others into his kingdom. When we talk to someone and we discuss spiritual things, do we do it the way we think? Or have we studied scripture ourselves so that we can rightfully look at it and say, I think this is what God is telling us. This is what God is saying. God says, follow me. I have sent my son Jesus into the world. I have sent him for one reason, and that reason is to save the world from their sin. I did not send him into the world to condemn it, but to save it and to help it grow so that it would realize its day of visitation is here, that they would realize that as we study scripture, we can find that God is with us today. God is warning us of the things coming on, and we can find, as we study Revelation, we find more and more of the things coming on. This prayer on the back of the September calendar is a partial of the prayer. I think there's more to it, but this is all I could draw up on the internet. And it tells us then how we, as a country and as a world, has gone way off and changed right to wrong and wrong to right, how we call sweet sour and sour right. And we do it throughout the world. We do it throughout the lives. We live in a different world than we lived in 50 years ago. And for most of us, we say, I don't really like it. Yet we're living in it. So God is saying, because you're in it, remember your redemption draws nigh and is even at the door. And I want you to not only pray for the people of today, but I want you to be able to convince them that they need Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I want you to be able to tell them that this way, this certain styles of life is wrong. I want you to tell them that they have to have boldness standing for the Lord. I want you to be able to tell them that if they can endure and do not grow weary and faint, they will have eternal life when they're called out of this world. We find so many times that people may live a long, long time, and we say, that person was so evil. How in the world did God let him live so long? God's mercy is so great that he has given them maybe many more years, hoping and that someone would come to them and touch their heart in such a way that they would give their heart and life to Christ, that they would turn from their evil ways, because their time otherwise is short in here on earth, and it is also one in which if they die not knowing Christ, they will never be with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. They would get their punishment, yes, and they will see that. We find that as Christians, it is our duty to proclaim in the way we live, in the way we talk, in the way, in the people we keep company with, even of how God lives in our life and in and through us, how God watches over us and keeps us, how God will have mercy upon us, and that as he told the people of the land, he says, if Jerusalem had only known the day of visitation, they would not have been destroyed. And we find that's a very, very true. And when he cleansed the temple, it tells us in Mark, the first day he came in and he looked around and he left and went to Bethany, came back the next day and he cleansed the temple. And in cleansing that temple, he overturned the money changers. And as it tells us in Isaiah, God had said, my house will be a house of prayer to all nations, not just to the Jews, but to all nations. And our house of prayer is here. This building is a church for God that we have built for the Lord. As Christians living and having Jesus as our personal Lord, we are that church. And in that church, we should have prayer for God, for not only ourselves, but for those around us and for the community and for the world. In that prayer, we have to uphold one another. We have to use our talents to encourage one another. And as we encourage one another, that we live for Jesus, and Jesus gets all the glory and all the honor. This is what we want. People did not believe Christ or Jesus was the center, Son of God. They did not believe and they did not trust that he was. The question is, do you? Do you have Jesus as your personal Lord? And if you do, are you willing to let him rule and control your life, that through the Holy Spirit he would lead you, guide you, keep you, and help you to proclaim his word and his kingdom to those, not only the Christians around you, but to the non-Christian, that they would see Christ in you and glorify you. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would watch over us and keep us. Help us, Heavenly Father, to do your will. Help us to live in such a way that, Lord, as you cleanse us each day, that you would help us to live for you and to do your will. Be with this congregation and each of its members, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.